Hey, so welcome to Fantastic Neighborhood, episode 35. I'm John.
I'm Fred.
So this week, man, we didn't do much.
I did a lot, but it wasn't related to what we normally talk about.
I did stuff, but I just...
People like our stuff, though, John.
I guess. I mean,
our stuff is popular.
We'll riff. So, I mean, we've got abbreviated consumption junction, hype section, probably combine those this week. Game Club for Assler's Wrath. And then we'll take it out with the community segment.
Yeah.
Oh, Jinx, you owe me a bourbon.
Damn.
So we'll be right back with Consumption Joker.
Are we right back with Consumption
Junction?
You need to stop doing that forever.
I need to start doing that forever.
James, you owe me a bourbon. What?
I already gave you a bourbon, fool.
All right, we're even.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we got special edition bourbon. We have the Army Edition Maker's Mark. So it's got the ACU, like the Army Combat Uniform pattern on the label. I feel like they're really saluting me as a soldier. They're really looking out for my best interest.
If that were the case, I feel like the bourbon should be better.
Makers is good, man.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry. Ooh,
pretentious. So what do we want to talk about? I mean, I really didn't do much consuming because I drilled this last weekend. I keep having to go to coworkers going away, drinking events because my office is empty.
So I did some stuff, but not too many games. I was actually very... regretful the free time I actually had, which is very, very short amount
finite?
Of time. Yeah,
small,
minuscule,
less,
not a lot of the time that I did have, though. I didn't really play any games because I spent the time doing, you know, productive things like cleaning my house.
Dude, you sound like shit.
Yeah.
You're how am I more high energy than you? I'll tell you why, because they upped my thyroid medication.
No, that's not why. It's because I went to see Guar last night.
No, that's why I'm more excited.
Well, the reason I sound like shit is because I went to see Guar last night.
Yeah. So was that like every other time you've seen Guar?
Yeah, pretty much. It was great.
Did you get soaked?
Oh, yeah. I was covered. I've got photos.
Nice.
And I'm thoroughly bruised up. Caught a fucking boot across the face at some point. The opening bands were okay. Nothing to really talk about there. Standard metal affair.
No One Direction. No, I mean, they should change it up, really. Like, if you're Guar, have whoever.
Well, during the...
Didn't you say one time in, like, Every Time I Die opened or something?
Yeah.
Seems weird.
During the intermission sections, or whatever you want to call them, between bands during setup and breakdown, they were playing Rush. Like,
nice.
And that's all they play.
That seems oddly appropriate.
No one hated it, but it just, I don't know, it felt a little weird. But the show was good.
Somebody in the crowd really hated it because they're like, fuck Neil Peart and his Ayn Rand bullshit. Actually, Neil Peart's the drummer, right?
Peart's the drummer, Geddy Lee's the bassist.
Yeah.
No one remembers
Geddy Lee's
the
singer and bassist.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck his, because the whole book is like, I mean, many of their songs are based on like concepts from The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged and
yeah.
stuff. Gosh, what a load of bullshit.
Yeah, it's
voting for Romney.
It's a weird band. But yeah, so it was the first tour with their new guitarist because the old one died of a congenital heart defect last year in the middle of the tour.
Also, he got eaten by a dragon.
Yes. So the new guy is really good. If you were just listening, you wouldn't know the difference live between him and the last guitarist. He really,
because he plays the same stuff on guitar.
Well, yeah, I mean, they did play one new song last night, which was really hard. But overall, it was a great show. I had a great time, although I kind of don't like going to shows in Williamsburg. It has a very different vibe than like a show in Manhattan. And the crowd that shows up. Like, there's some people who obviously just showed up because they live in Williamsburg and they wanted to go to a show not knowing what was going on. It was a very PBR crowd.
Dude. I don't know.
They drink PBR
whatever.
In Williamsburg.
We're a little bit too... We're being too New York.
Anyway, so John, tell me about the games you actually played this week.
I didn't play any games.
Tell me about the things you did this week.
Okay, I played a game. So Crazy Taxi came out on iOS. So that's like the fifth time we've talked about Crazy Taxi in Consumption Junction.
I'm fine with that.
So it's on iOS. So I played it both on my iPhone, which it hasn't been optimized for iPhone 5 yet, and on my iPad. And touch controls, but it's the whole Dreamcast game. Right. I figured if Sega was smart, because it was $5, if they were smart, they would release the arcade version for $5 and then sell the original mode, you know, the new,
yeah,
the new also copy of San Francisco for $2. It's some extra money because they're not going to lose sales for leaving that out. Anyway, the whole Dreamcast thing is there, including Crazy Box, the like challenges.
Yeah.
Controls are touchscreen controls. So,
well, there's an option for to go from touchscreen to the...
Well, I think we've already established that I hate tilt controls on my fucking games.
But at least they give you the option.
Yeah. The controls are fine. I mean, they're not as good as a controller. But, hey, it's pretty good. So, big deal for this game is original soundtrack in place.
Yeah.
So, all four songs by Offspring and Bad Religion. I mean, two each. But the cool, you know... The only thing that's in this that seems like iPhone-y is, yeah, you can make a playlist off your phone as the soundtrack, but I don't know why you would.
No,
because I just want to listen to those four songs by Bad Religion and The Offspring.
If at some point during your trip you don't hear yeah, it's not going to work.
Yeah. So that being said, it looks pretty much exactly like the Dreamcast version, draw distance included. I got some. It's higher res, obviously.
Right.
But I think it's got the same like amount of polygons and stuff. I probably just didn't notice some of the shortcuts they took on the Dreamcast. But hey, it looks like the Dreamcast version up res, so it looks probably a little better than, because you're talking on a smaller screen, probably a little better than playing Crazy Taxi on your Dream. Or no, it probably looks more like the Xbox re-release.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Dreamcast one at larger screen sizes, like, it's good, but it's still, like, it gets that blurriness.
It maybe for you, but I have a VGA box. So, yeah. Suck it. Dude, you went to Comic-Con.
I did go to Comic-Con. I was saving this for last.
No, you're not.
Well, I'm saving it for right now, then. So, I went for one day to New York Comic-Con. I wanted to go for 4 days, but I had a wedding in the middle, and I could only get a Friday badge at that point. So I took off of work, and I went to New York Comic Con. I did not
Dude, I don't want to hear your fucking life story. Just tell me about fucking Comic Con.
Go to hell. I did not get to do...
Then I had this planter's wart, and
also go to
I
hell.
Had to go freeze it off. Ugh.
So...
Oy.
Did not get to do everything I would have wanted to do. There's just way too much to do in one day. It's a huge convention. It's like PAX, except in a shittier location. Yavitz Center. But so what I was surprised about, there's a huge gaming presence there. And you know how San Diego Comic-Con has become sort of renowned for its movie release presence?
Like, sure.
They debut a ton of films there. I feel like gaming is what, like, just previews and demos and releases at this one is going to be their sort of thing.
Yeah, maybe not on the same scale.
No, it'll never be on the same sale because they don't have the same space.
Well, also because, I mean, like, the two tentpole events for games are VGAs and E3.
Yeah.
You know, there's some PAX in there. There's some GDC, but, you know, the main ones are already spoken for.
Right. So
the hot girls already got a date.
Well, let's talk about the hot girls for a second. So, unlike PAX, they don't really have a booth babe policy. So there was some...
PAX doesn't either, bro.
No, I know. There were some... you have to be knowledgeable of the product.
Dude, honestly, like, PAX can... I'm doing... For those of you not watching the video feed, I am jerking off into the air because PAX's policies are kind of... No booth babes. But hey, you know, all these press-only events, we'll do as many of those as possible. And hey... Heaven forbid you piss off Gabe and Tycho, because we will be immature to you on the internet.
Yes, this is true.
Don't bully!
Not
rape,
to...
Anyway. Rape jokes. Rape jokes.
Rape jokes. Let's get back to New York Comic Con, John.
Fucking grown-ups.
So there are a lot of booths with an overabundance of good-looking girls and very...
Booths.
Good-looking girls in very short shorts.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Got anyway, it. Mental picture. I don't know if you see the boner.
So the games and the presents that I saw that I was interested in, at least, was here's my short version. They had the longest line in the con, playable demo of Halo 4. Not a surprise.
Uh-huh.
Right? And it, you know, from a distance, guess what? It looks like every other Halo game.
What's the last Halo you played?
2.
Okay, so fuck right off.
I know.
Because, first of all, like, this... So, Halo 3 looked a lot better than 2. It was early on in 360's life. ODST was meh. Reach looked pretty good and played pretty well. From all accounts and what I've seen online, Halo 4 seems like a big step forward. Basically, like, Microsoft has to knock it out of the park with this one because it's switching studios.
Right.
So they basically gave 343 a blank fucking check and was like, hey, don't fuck this up. So I'm sure that game's gonna be good. You're not gonna play it, but
well, I'm not faulting it on what it looked like. I'm just saying, like, it didn't, the art style, there's no major overhaul to it. Even when finally seeing it,
it's still gonna play like Halo. It's still gonna have the same art style as Halo.
Yeah, it's still Halo. It just, you know, it's not like leaps and bounds ahead of.
They don't need to hit home runs, homie. They just need them doubles.
Yeah, and yeah, so huge line. Didn't want to spend 2 hours online to play Halo in my one day at the convention, so I skipped that. There was playable demos of Hawk in there, although they didn't have a booth. That game looks incredible.
Oh man, another free-to-play game that Fred can get obsessed with for 3 days.
But it really, like,
but it, this is different, John.
No, it really looks great. I mean,
it looks cool.
It's great. A mech shooter, so if you're not gonna like mech
but
shooters,
it's a fast mech shooter, gonna,
yeah, it was pretty quick. They were playing on pretty beefy machines, so I don't know what I have a feeling this thing's a bear to run.
I have a feeling that you might need a new gaming rig. We should build this.
Upgrade my video card or something.
Okay. No, that game looks great. I'm sure it'll run. I'm sure it scales.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Better run on that bad bear.
It surprised me how good it looked.
It's Korean developed, right?
I believe so.
It'll run on anything.
So there's Hawken. Squaresoft had a big booth where they were pushing out the same garbage that they always push out.
I hate to be pedantic. Square Enix.
Yes.
Or is our
Squeenix.
Our friends at CBG say Squeenix. Ugh. Sorry, guys. Don't do that anymore.
Anyway, it's the same.
Did I say CBG or CBJ?
Either way.
Whatever. Cross-border gaming.
CRJ?
Yeah. What up?
What? Oh, they did have a dance-off, like, place where you could dance to Just Dance 4. They were bringing...
Just Dance 4 or Dance Central 3?
Just Dance 4.
Mm. Just Dance 4 does not look as good as Dance Central 3.
Right, but it has the playlist.
Wait, is CRJ on the playlist?
Yes, it is.
Oh, for real?
Yes.
Day one purchase.
I have some video of a guy dressed as Zangief and a guy in a Venom costume dancing to Rihanna.
Why don't we put that on the site?
I think we might. I have a couple of shots from the show that are interesting.
Okay, keep talking. I'm just pre-ordering Just Dance 3.
I'll show you the video after the show.
Okay.
Don't pre-order now. Wait till after the show. Just pull up the page so you remember it.
Just Dance 4, I mean.
Anyway, so...
Ooh, maybe I can get it for Xmas.
Yeah, so Squaresoft pumping out the same old garbage.
This game is already out.
Yeah. Look at you, behind on the times.
Is this... Okay, yep. Just go about
John,
your business
this is,
and
this
don't...
does not make for riveting radio.
Yeah, don't look at the screen. Don't look at me. One-click order has been placed.
The Marvel...
Okay, that might have been a mistake. I shouldn't do that.
The Marvel... what do you want to call it? Marvel Oblo was there?
No. The MMO.
Yeah, that looks like Diablo.
Okay, well, did you play any of the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games or the X-Men games?
Yeah,
those were all excellent.
So I think it's that with a leveling mechanic, right?
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like MUA. MUA 2.
This is the abbreviation episode.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't like MUA 2.
Mewtwo.
MUA
2.
Oh, man, have we rolled into a Pokemon podcast?
I think
but a lot of people didn't like Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. I liked it. I played the shit out of those games. I would love to go back and do one of those in a game club, because it would be even better co-op.
I think so. We used to play those at Ed's house. They were a lot of fun.
It's the same reason
Smash TV.
It's the same reason I like Borderlands. It's like, kill stuff. Hey, your friends are there.
That's
true.
And
also, you get to be Wolverine. That's pretty dope.
I feel like
I wouldn't play as Wolverine.
In the Marvel Alliance games, you actually had to play with your like the co-op was more relevant than some other games. Like you would die if you didn't play well with each other.
I mean, I beat both those games, you know, single player.
But don't the enemies scale up if you're?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
or maybe I don't.
They
know.
Had that there. It looks like what you would expect a Marvel Diablo style MMO to play
Let's talk about this real quick. Do I really want Just Dance 4?
I think you do.
Should I wait until it gets cheaper?
I think we should wait till the end of the show and we should discuss this off air.
Okay, whatever.
I think we should have an intervention.
No, we should just... Okay, people like us riffing. Keep going.
Anyway, Marvel had a couple of games there. I didn't really have too much of a chance to play them. They had one that was like a treasure hunt around the whole place.
Did you see anything about the Deadpool game?
They were playing video loops on the screens they
had. For FPS, right?
From what I could see, it was still all cinematics. It was still the E3 mm-hmm. spoiler trailer, so it's, you know, it's still just Nolan North the game.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. And they had the fighting game, which is not Marvel, it's DC. They had Injustice, Gods Among Us.
Yeah, we'll hit that in the community segment.
Yeah, we'll hit that in the community segment, because we got a question about it. Nintendo had a booth there, showing off the Wii U. Huge line for that as well. And, like, in traditional Nintendo fashion, there was no clearly delineated line. It was just a mess of people trying to push in for to get a console.
Dude, I don't know who wants to fucking watch Wii U.
Can I tell you something? The games that they were showing on the screens above the booth did not make the console look great. Like, because most of the games they were showing were just games that were released before, but with, you know, Wii U stuff added on. Like, the Wii U Tekken... Where, like, the big pull is that the other Tekken, some of the Tekken characters have Mario costumes.
I do not give a shit about any third-party games except for maybe, well, except for, I guess, is Bayonetta a first-party game now since it's published by Nintendo?
I don't know.
I don't care about any non...
Second-party, maybe?
I don't care about any non-exclusives.
Gotcha.
With the possible exception of Epic Mickey, because that might be the version to play.
Yeah.
If I'm going to play Epic Mickey. Dude, can you believe there's a console coming out in a fucking month and a day from now?
And that we just, like, there's no...
And I'm getting it, but I don't give a shit.
No, no one gives it. Because where are we going to get the time?
That's not... We'll find it. I'll find time.
Fun time. Take off of work. Anyway, so yeah, so the Wii U stuff did not interest me at all. The PlayStation had a booth there. Could honestly care less. The first thing you see when you walk by the PlayStation booth is this giant fucking dumb Kratos statue. And
dude, why do they think people would give a shit about Kratos?
Sony needs to stop trying to use him as their go-to mascot. Like, they don't really have anyone else is the problem. But like,
yeah, especially since they fucking soured the relations with Kevin Butler.
Right. But
who is Jerry Lawler. Nope, that's the fucking honky-tonk man.
But yeah, it's just stupid. He's a dumb character from a dumb game. I'm tired of it. But they have this big stupid statue of him there, and who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, which I thought was weird, G4 had a booth there.
This is not lastly, by the way. I'm looking.
No. But as far as the video game presence goes, so G4 had a booth there. Mm-hmm. But G4 is going away.
Yeah.
And it wasn't rebranded. It was still the same G4. They were still promoting, like, X-Play.
Well,
and...
to my knowledge, the new network is still going to have X-Play and Attack of the Show,
is
right?
Is it? I'm not sure. But I think what happened...
Who cares about X-Play without Sessler?
Yeah. I mean, what I think happened, though, is that with Comic-Con, you have to book the booth, like, well in advance. So I think they secured their booth knowing that... You know, oh, we'll be here. And then the decision to rebrand came down.
Mm-hmm.
So they still had the booth. So they're just sending people there because otherwise they waste the money.
I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I honestly don't care. The other thing they had there, which I didn't get to go into the panel, but I did catch some fan footage online after it happened. There's a remake of Evil Dead.
I didn't believe this when I saw this on your list. What? The Raimi's involved, right?
Well, Raimi's involved in that it is based on a screenplay by Sam Raimi. So it's the Evil Dead story.
No, but he signed off on it.
I imagine he had to have signed off.
I think he owns the rights.
Yeah.
Who's in it? What is it?
It's five no-name actors, and it's a serious horror movie.
No.
Yeah. Like
no.
A serious, scary, gory horror movie.
I don't believe you.
The trailer is pretty readily accessible online.
They have a trailer?
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like the Red Band trailer. And so it's you won't see this trailer on TV. It looks like the same exact story as Evil Dead.
And Evil Dead 2, because they have the same story.
Same exact plot. I mean, there's some big spoilers in the trailer, as a matter of fact.
Dude, you can't spoil an Evil Dead movie.
Well, there's spoilers in so much that...
You can't spoil a remake.
They show you the shit that you probably want to go to the movie and see. Like, they show someone cutting off their arm.
Who is playing Bruce Campbell?
I think it's a woman.
Really? Okay.
There's like,
you got me. You got me.
There's like three guys and two women, I think, or three women and two guys who are listed on IMDb as the characters. None of them are named Ash.
You're full of shit.
No, I'm dead serious. And the trailer has this moment in it where, like, right at the end, where I'm like, this is not Evil Dead, because it's actually a serious, scary horror movie moment.
According to them, according to MTV.com, it will be worse than R. Anyway, I'm going to watch this at some point.
It's certainly worth an art, just based on what they do in the trailer alone.
Cool.
Yeah, but I honestly, I don't understand why they're making it. Stop.
Oh,
it.
Man, it's they're remaking something I like. That's what you sound like.
I don't know why.
Hey, turn up. I don't know. Because they can make money. And the Evil Dead movies didn't make money. So,
no, I know.
So maybe this will make money.
But yeah, after all is said and done, there was still a ton more to do there that I didn't get to do, unfortunately. I wanted to check out a couple of games, believe it or not, at the Square booth, but I didn't have a chance.
Square is Eidos now. Let's keep that in mind.
Yes.
So they have Tomb Raider there?
They did. They had Tomb Raider. As a matter of fact, they had a booth with archery.
Dude, when is Tomb Raider coming out?
I don't remember the date exactly.
Oh, God.
So they had Tomb Raider. They had Remember Me, which I don't really know a whole lot about, but it looked interesting.
I remember, did we talk about that on our E3 episode?
No, it looks Deus Ex-y.
Okay.
And then
Deus Sexy.
And then they had, there was some other stuff at the con that, like, I just don't care about. Like, oh, look, they're re-releasing the first Darkstalkers with achievements. Who gives a shit?
It's two Darkstalkers. It's
who gives
all
a
three
shit?
Darkstalkers.
Who gives a shit?
A lot of people.
I can't believe people give a shit.
Not me.
No, not me.
Fighting game enthusiasts do,
I guess. And then some sort of re-release of Marvel Capcom. They were actually giving away some neat...
Yeah, I think that's out like this week or something.
They were giving away some neat items. Like, I was with Dennis at the con, and he got a double-sided poster for Marvel Capcom, but it's done in the style of the original Mega Man box art, but with Street Fighter characters.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. So they had some good swag. They weren't skimping on the show.
Okay. But
it was a lot of fun. There's so much more that probably happened that I just didn't even see because there's so much to do. And of course, they had the autograph alley where everyone could pay $1 million to go get Adam West's autograph.
Yeah, fuck that.
Was there.
Didn't I rant about that last week? Fuck mm-hmm. that. All right. So just wrapping things up, I did consume one other thing. I watched Green Lantern, Emerald Knights, which is another... I've been on, like, this kick with these DC animated movies.
Yeah, they pump them out, like, once a month now.
No, it's less often than that, I think. But this one is not a good one. They got Nathan Fillion to play Hal Jordan.
Which is what everyone wanted for the Green Lantern movie with... what's his name? Ryan Reynolds.
The thing is, yo, Nathan Fillion is in his 40s and is not going to get into the kind of shape that Ryan Reynolds is going to get into.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
I understand completely.
Listen, as a man who loves to see washboard abs, I know you would not really want to see. No. Anyway, Fillion does the voice. It was not very good. I fell asleep. I mean,
sounds
granted, I was
right.
Kind of tired, but now, it's not as good as the other ones I've seen.
Is this the first Green Lantern one that they did or the second one? Because I might have seen this one.
I don't know.
Is this the origin story where he first joins the corpse?
Corpse?
The Green Lantern corpse.
Do you not know how core. To pronounce core?
All right.
Do you not know how to say the word core? This is adorable.
I know,
the
whatever.
Corpse. The corpse. The Marine Corps. The United States Marine Corps. Oh, that's the fourth Marine movie from WWE Films. That one will have
in the mouth.
That one will have Paul Bearer in it. Get it? Marine Corps. I actually recently found out that there are three, like, this is, for real, there are three of the Marine movies. Because I remember the John Cena one came out in theaters years ago, right?
Yeah, and it had, no one really cared, right?
What's his name? Patrick. T-1000 from T2.
Right. Oh, I can't remember, but I know who you're talking
about. So he was a bad guy. I guess they made a second one, and I want to say...
Direct-to-video sort of
thing? No, they were direct-to-video. Most of those movies are. Maybe Randy Orton? I don't know. I don't really know modern wrestlers. The third one is of note because it stars The Miz.
I don't know who that is.
So The Miz is now a popular wrestler in WWE, which I don't watch anymore,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I haven't watched wrestling since I was like 8.
I don't know. I watched it in high school a little bit. So The Miz has recently become popular, I guess, maybe in the last 5 to 8 years. But in the 90s, this guy was on Road Rules.
Really?
On MTV, like, and the Road Rules versus Real World Challenges and all those stuff. Like, he was on Road Rules.
As
he was
a participant?
He was this college student who was an aspiring professional wrestler. Because in the late 90s, that was actually kind of cool. Like, being an aspiring professional wrestler.
I guess that's kind of like being an aspiring MMA fighter now.
No. Because MMA fighters beat each other up.
Yeah, but they don't make money, like, for the most part, like the wrestlers
do.
Yeah,
but anyway, this... So, it's kind of interesting that that guy is in movies now when... I don't know. I think he's probably profited among the best out of the people who have come out of the MTV mill of reality stars.
Well, just wait until the Marine 4 comes out, because I heard Puck is going to be in it.
Who's Puck?
Damn it. I thought that reference would go well. Real World.
Oh, yeah, duh. God, oh, my bad. It. I really used to like the Real World a lot, too. No, but I think we already made a joke about Marine Corps 4 starring Paul Bearer.
But Puck could also... All right. Dead. Joke over.
Yeah. Don't see Green Lantern and Real Knights. It's not very good. Instead, see Justice League New Frontier, which is amazing.
Oh, that's the retro one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good.
That is really good. Also, see the Batman ones I've already talked about on the show. And I hear All-Star Superman's okay.
Most of them are on Netflix, so
yeah.
Watch away.
Watch them. They're good. So the other thing I put down here is my adventures in eBay.
Uh-oh. What'd you buy?
I mean, I've already been talking about...
I saw a thing earlier.
All the 7,800 games I've been buying. Okay, so...
There was a wealth of them at Comic-Con, by the way. Like, a lot of sellers selling really old 7,800 games.
7,800 or 2,600.
7,800.
This is a clear delineation.
Right. Same cartridge that you have, but way overpriced for the most part.
I believe it. So, 7,800, whatever. I've already talked about that. So, I've also kind of been, like, a little bit of Genesis Sega CD kick. I don't know if you saw that there's a Genesis sitting on the in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's another thing in the guest room.
Yeah, no, I saw that thing.
So that is the JVC XIX, the letter X apostrophe EYE, which is a combination Sega CD Genesis made by JVC, right?
Why wouldn't they call it the Sega XIX?
No, because they licensed the tech out to be made by JVC.
But it plays Sega titles?
Yes, but it was licensed out. A few companies did this. You know, there's that Panasonic Cube thing that plays GameCubes.
Yeah.
There's a 3DO. This is basically a 3DO model. 3DO
sure
was licensed out to a bunch of companies.
Why would I buy that as opposed to getting a Sega?
It's combination, dummy. It plays both in one unit. God, you weren't even listening.
God.
Also, that's pretty rare. So I bought that. I just got off the phone with the seller because he included the wrong power and AV cables. Really, really nice guy in North Carolina. And, like, he's a collector. He's like, yeah, my kid is into this other very expensive sporting hobby right now, and I need to – his kid, like, races, like, little go-karts or some shit like that. And he's like, yeah, so I'm unloading a lot of this stuff. And so, like – yeah, so because I talked to him because we were resolving this like issue with the AV cords. End up talking to him for 20 fucking minutes about collecting. and he's like, hey, man, just send me a list of what you want, man. I used to have a store, so I got like a basement full of shit.
We should have him on the show.
Dude, the itch. Like, you know, like we were talking about before, talking about buying equipment and stuff for the yeah. podcast and stuff. Like, talking to somebody else who likes collecting. It's like finding a kindred spirit, right? That like,
oh, I know, right?
Oh, my fellow fucking hoarder.
Join us.
He's like, yeah, man, you know, I don't really play this stuff anymore. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. I'm like, what's stopping you?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned eBay because I was after Comic-Con, Ed, went on eBay like yesterday, started sending me all these links to these things that me and him bought like maybe 10 years ago, like toys and stuff like that, that we were like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And we didn't buy it as a speculation. We bought it because we genuinely wanted these
things.
You
bought it because you wanted it. Ed bought it because of speculation.
So there was like an Invader Zim PVC set that I bought for like maybe $10. It's like $200 on eBay right now. I don't even know where mine is. There was the Shaun of the Dead poster that I bought at Comic-Con.
This weekend, yeah.
Yeah, so back to Comic-Con. Mondo Posters was there. And anyone who doesn't know what Mondo Posters is, they're a company designed to break hearts. So they sell movie posters, but they sell super limited edition movie posters, and they don't give you any warning. Like, they just put them up, they go on Twitter, and they go, posters are up, and then they sell out in, like, 2 minutes. So they had a bunch of exclusives that they only sold at Comic-Con, and one of the ones that they had was a Shaun of the Dead poster, limited to 400 copies, and then there was, like, a variant that had, like, 400 copies. I bought the regular one, and for $45, it's already, like, $200 on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had bought like 9 of them.
But the one you bought is going up in the studio.
In the studio.
So wait, do you want to put it there and I'll put Harrison Ford over there?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, great.
Oh, there was one other thing at Comic-Con I totally spaced on. There was a pinball company there.
Was it...
from Jersey.
Stern.
No. It was a little... I got their information and then I lost it. But they have a pinball machine, a tri-level Wizard of Oz fully licensed pinball machine. That was amazing.
Did you get their info?
I did. It's probably floating around my house.
Okay, get their info. I would. Man, Mel would probably too much. Blah, 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 blah.
But I think they're making 1,000 machines, and they have a full HD display on them.
That sounds great. We should actually find out who that is, because I would like to look into that. Hey, we'll do an interview one of these days, you know?
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, maybe.
No.
Jersey Jack Pinball.
Jesus, that sounds high. That sounds professional.
It was really badass.
That looks cool as hell, man.
Yeah, no. We'll post some pictures.
But that's one of those things we say we're going to do, and we'll never do.
No, I'm actually going
to
do it.
Email that to me now, and we'll put it in the show notes. We'll show it in the show feed. Speaking of the show notes, you know what really sucks? So then Apple now forces you to use the podcasting app on the iPhone and iOS 5. So you can't view things listed as the lyrics in the show notes anymore. So I apologize to our iPhone users until they fix that. Because I know like when we're like, skip ahead, look at the show notes. I don't know. We'll try to maybe rectify that somehow.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do.
Anyway,
we'll be right back with whatever we're calling the next segment. Feels all right, being so wrong. Don't look back, cause it won't last long. Just let it go. Yeah, just let it go. Raise up a glass, let's make a toast. It'll hurt in the morning, but we still need a boat. Back with Hyperdrive Angry Birds.
No, it's hyperthyroidism.
No, it's Hyperdrive Angry Birds.
No, because we really needed to like sit on that one and use it later.
I feel like this is like, you know, at the end of Rocky and Bullwinkle, they used to do the like, join us next week on blank, 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 or...
No.
Am I that old?
No, I'm not familiar with that. It's actually, I have hypothyroidism.
Okay,
it's
different. Let's go with yours.
So this is the segment where we're supposed to talk about things we're excited about.
I think we're burnt out though for being so excited last week.
I'm excited about the same thing. This is like now. This is a segment about Dread because not the awesome movie Dread, by the way, which is awesome.
Dread the D-R-E-A-D spelling, right?
Yeah. So I have Dishonored and XCOM down here. Like, when am I going to find the fucking time to play these?
The Enemy Unknown one, XCOM?
Yeah, the new, brand new one. Everybody is raving about this. I figure eventually, this is something I might want to dive into on Christmas break. Dishonored has to get played by me soon.
Yeah.
Like, I have to play this game. So I think when you leave, I'm going to play it as quickly. I don't know. Maybe I'll stay up late. I'm not very good at that.
I'm actually excited for the prospects of playing those games in the future. I still haven't beat Borderlands. I still haven't beat Torchlight.
I haven't beat Borderlands as well. Torchlight, I basically have said, eh, they got my money.
And I...
And by they got my money, I mean...
You
Dennis,
owe Dennis $15.
I owe you $15, bro.
But, I mean, I want to play these games. There's a wealth of games I want to play. I just bought 4 new goddamn games for $10 a pop on a Gamefly sale.
Yeah, no, I bought a bunch too.
Yeah, which are going to be some future game clubs. And they're not short titles, you know, and they're not, they're in-depth games.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I'm going to find the time for everything. Like, you know, you remember, I mean, we say this all the time, but it's not about money anymore.
Yeah, it's
especially
about time.
Even if they were still $60 games, I mean, that might be a little bit more of a deterrent to wait for them to go down in price. But eventually, you know, the game is going to hit a price point
Dude,
that you're going to buy it at.
I really feel like I've been a terrible influence on you. This doesn't seem like something you would have done before.
I would have, but I just wouldn't have done it with games. I would have done it with Magic cards.
But like,
I would have like, oh, well, here's an extra $100. Let me buy this one card.
Yeah. Now you're like, oh, 4 Xbox games for $40. Absolutely.
Done and done.
Do you remember what you picked up?
I do. I remember some of them anyway.
So I picked up, I got an Uncharted 3, $10. Like, I played the first two. It's about time to pay those. Play those. I picked up, fuck, man, Warhammer 40K Space Marine, which we're going to game club at some point. X-Men Destiny, which I think we need to do a riff tracks on. I think is the tentative plan for that. And Blades of Time, which is a Konami joint, so that probably should speak for itself. Yeah. But I did play the demo on Xbox, and it seems like a good B-level game for me. Like, I really liked Wet until I got to a place.
I loved Wet.
Until I got to a spot I couldn't get past. So I was like, fuck this game. It was $13. I really liked Wet. Like, I would play
I really liked it.
I would play that second version. I would play a sequel to that.
That game, the soundtrack for me, it was one of those games that had just an
it's
amazing
like psychobilly
soundtrack. Yeah, I loved it. very fitting, though.
So what did you pick up?
So I picked up, I only got 360 games. I picked up Syndicate.
I got that on PC, so we should game club that, because I really want to play it. Wub wub.
I got Crysis 2, having never played Crysis 1.
I have that, too.
I got Binary Domain.
I
which
have
is
that.
Something I played and
I
wanted to get back to when it was $10.
Well. Jesus Christ.
And 40K Space Marine.
Dude, what can we do to get time to play games and watch movies and fucking
I think
comics?
We need to get the podcast syndicated so that we can live off the money we make from it, and then it becomes our job as opposed to a hobby.
No, because what we really have to figure out is how to play this stuff but still have time to... Like,
it's the game reviewer's dilemma, right?
Yeah, it's like all their free time is taken up by my stupid wife.
We can get mutual divorces and then get gay married and play games together.
Dude, I mean, I don't want to bone, but like, we could get gay married for the benefits.
I mean, you know, we could play games and get health insurance.
And who's the Sandler and who's the Kevin James in this situation?
Fortunately, I think I'm the Kevin James.
I don't understand, like, because neither one is relevant or funny.
But they both make silly noises.
Ugh, I'd rather be Sandler. At least in that movie, he got to make out Brooklyn Decker. But listen to this. This has gone off the rails. This is not hype anymore. This is the Riffin section.
Speaking of Riffin, I'm going to Riff Tracks Live on the 25th.
That sounds pretty exciting.
Pretty hyped about that.
But
here on.
I think you talked about that when you bought those tickets. It's like, you know, 3 months ago. Didn't you?
No, Dennis did. But I'm going and I'm excited. It's in Long Island, though.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, awesome to all our Long Island listeners. But, dude, so Kevin James, so he has been in, he's most notable for what? King of Queens, right?
King of Queens.
Where he is married to fucking Zach from Saved by the Bells, Zach Morris's ex-girlfriend, Stacy from when they were the summer episodes. Come on!
You know, I always...
come on! Kevin James... Like, you're
That's typical American sitcomism, right?
You're a really nice guy, but, like, come on. She's a babe.
Unqualified, goofy man married to extraordinarily hot, low-confidence wife.
Well, Hey, hands up.
We are the American sitcom.
But then you've got I'm assuming terrible because I would never see this, but that movie with him and Vince Vaughn where he's with Winona Ryder. Are you serious?
See, here's the weird thing
about... Dude, she was dating Johnny Depp in real life. Like, yeah. I mean, way back in the day or whatever. Not the same category.
Here's the thing. Kevin James, when he was doing stand-up, was all right. He wasn't like...
No, I don't dislike Kevin James. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I'm just... These pairings are ridiculous. And that new movie where he's in the
MMA fighter.
Salma Hayek's the love interest. Like, go fuck yourself,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, that one's way out there.
God damn it. She played Frida.
I think that Kevin James is all right. I don't love him. Don't hate him. Sandler is so far gone from what he used to be. And, like, he is just pumping out shitty movie after shitty movie. Like, that one he just did with Andy Samberg, which I don't know anyone who saw it.
Well, dude, here's the thing. Is he was always pumping out shitty movies, but the thing was we were the target demo.
Well, it was...
Come on, man. Like,
true.
Objectively,
we did grow up.
Yeah,
I can still go back.
Billy Madison and fucking
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, but like those are not good movies.
I can watch Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, and The Waterboy over and over
again. Oh yeah, I can watch The Waterboy right now because of LT. Yeah. Which brings me to my next point: don't smoke crack. And with that, we'll be right back with the Sirs Rap Game Club. I don't know what the world may. I'm so angry, Fred.
Anger!
I'm so angry.
Why did you make me so filled with rage?
So,
Asura... Is that a good opening? I don't know. That was kind
of
silly.
I don't know. Asura's Wrath is Game Club, the first half of the game. Well, the first two-thirds of the on-disc content.
Yes. Oh, wait a sec. Hold on. Spoiler warning!
I'm so angry that you spoiled this for me! The GarageBand is detected feedback.
Every time we yell on the show, I get happy, though.
No, it's because your headphones are too loud. Turn my headphones up. So we played Asura's Wrath.
Yes, so we played, what do they call them, chapters?
Okay, segments? So we played the first 12 chapters, the first two
acts,
parts.
Right?
Parts?
Is it act?
I think
it
it's
act
parts.
One, part one, part two, or act one, act two? Either way.
I don't even know where to start. Okay.
Yeah, this was kind of what we expected would happen, which is why we picked this game, and I'm glad we did.
So what is this game? This game is occasionally an action game told in the style of a serialized anime, like a televised anime, because there are credits before every fucking little...
Every scene in the chapter.
...segment of a game. There are commercial breaks. There are, like, the way, you know, like, on cartoons, like, something happens towards the end of commercial break, and then that happens again when you get back from commercial.
Yes.
I mean, there aren't actually commercials.
There's overlapping segments.
Yeah. And there's the previously next time. Now, you asked the question, was this supposed to be episodic? Yeah. I don't think so. I think, come on.
You think it's just that, like, sort of, like, meta look at...
Yeah, this is meta as fuck.
Like, the Toonami sort of outlook on things. And then I also, since we're on the topic of anime, could this have been an anime series?
And you know what? We'll get to... I did something. I might have maybe cheated on Game Club a little bit.
Right.
And we'll talk about that towards the end. And that it might play into that. So, this, like I said, this is very occasionally an action game. Though, like the third person action is very sort of easy, and there's also some shooting, like some
it's button mashy a little bit.
Yeah, and then there's also like some like what do you call it, Space Harrier style shooting segments.
Right,
Space Harrier mixed with Rez.
It's rails. It's a shooter on rails,
kind of, more or less.
Yeah, I mean the whole game is basically on rails. The game is as linear as a game can be, to the point where like most of the time you don't really have control over the game except to like be very actively paying attention for where your triggers are to hit a switch.
Yeah, I mean they're like you'll see the recap at the end of every little chapter, but I mean there could be a 15 to 20 minute chapter where the playing time is 3 or 4 minutes,
right?
But not in like a bad way, like
no,
like in a
no.
Metal Gear or something.
And the other weird thing is some of the gameplay elements, like some of the quick time event button mashes that actually happen,
are
in very arbitrary places too.
But it's so fun.
It is fun. You do have to pay attention though, like actively have to be paying attention. And I thought that was really brilliant on their behalf to like randomly, like, to get a piece of dialogue to move forward, having to make them hit the switch in a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's out of context. Like, it makes sense. Like, you have to hit up to have your character stand up or something like that. But it's just, like, it feels so randomly placed. But it does make you pay attention.
Absolutely.
Right? So you can't trail off during the game.
Yeah. So basically it is. Like, it is a slew of quick time events. But the biggest mechanic is essentially the burst mechanic.
Yes.
So through whether like it's cut actions during a cutscene or through like when it is an action game, you are just essentially trying to build up this meter so you can pull the right trigger so you can go into burst mode. And burst mode is when Asura goes apeshit.
Right. And that usually is the end. That's the way you defeat the boss or whatever have you.
Or the thing.
Like,
or
most enemies don't have health. Like, there's some of the grunt enemies will die after a certain number of hits.
Yeah.
Some of the larger enemies, they will keep going
even
until you
like
actually hit burst mode.
What you would almost think of as a mini boss, not just a boss. Yeah.
Right.
It's the same. They don't necessarily have health. So that was what it is, I guess. Though I doubt that made sense to anybody that didn't play it. What it is not, one word, boring. This game is not in the slightest bit boring.
It keeps going.
It is very engaging.
Yes. I found myself a lot more intrigued with it than I ever thought I would.
Yeah. Dude, I don't even know what to say. So let's skip to like with the story. So it's about a demigod named Asura, who is one of the 8 major gods in this world. Tragedy befalls him. This is about his revenge.
Not tragedy, betrayal.
Betrayal and tragedy.
Okay.
Which is why he's so angry, which is the game.
But he's angry beforehand. Like,
but he's really angry
now. His god power is anger. Like, but all the gods have, like, a gimmick.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's the thing, is all the demigods have, because you're essentially, this is Kill Bill, right?
Yes.
It's your classic Japanese anime, your Japanese film, like, revenge story, right? What's Kill Bill based on? Something like that.
Or it's any of the spaghetti westerns, or
you're getting betrayed, and then there's this big group of people who used to be
your
buddies.
You're left for dead,
and then you come back to get the guys who did it.
Although in this case, you were dead. Like, you actually die, and then you come back.
But so the thing you're talking about is the mantra affinities,
mm-hmm.
which are the 7 deadly sins plus one other. So it's like wrath, sloth, blah, 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 blah,
right.
blah. Asura's is wrath.
Yes.
There's pride, lust.
Pride, lust, greed, sloth, which I don't necessarily know which one aligns with which character, though.
Because
there's 8 demigods.
I'm going to go with sloth is probably the fat one. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, so you're getting your revenge. Your daughter is also plays a part of it, in that she's been made Asura's daughter has been made the priestess, which is they're drawing upon her power to purify the earth. They're purifying the earth by fighting these sort of demony things,
the locust.
But at the same time, to up their mantra, they are taking the souls of the mortals, like the human beings.
So from what I could gather, mantra, which is a spiritual energy of some sort, it seems like it's like the life force from Final Fantasy VII or any other, the force from Star Wars, whatever have you, right?
Or, you know, like a soul from Christianity, Judaism.
So it seems to be generated by faith.
Yes.
Right? And it seems that as you go on in the story, originally they collect the mantra from the prayers of the humans, and then later on they collect the mantra not only from the prayers, but from the deaths.
Killing them and stealing their souls. Yeah.
You know, I would love to have been, like, in the pitch session for this fucking game. Because, like, just, I don't know what fucking drug you have to take to make something like that. Dude, I could never imagine this thing in my, like...
Here's the fucking thing, though. Remember how, like, I was like, man, I love it at 20, 25? I kind of wish I gave them my whole $60 at this point.
Yeah,
which is
too.
Why I,
really
without
good.
Hesitation, gave them $15 for DLC.
Yes.
This is the kind of game that needs to get made. It's a niche title.
Yeah.
Like, but, I mean, it deserves an audience.
So here's while we're on the story,
dude,
bit.
But the thing about, like, oh, so one last thing about, like, the story, because we, I mean, whatever our explanation, you know. The thing is, as incredibly over the fucking top everything is, the motivation of the character is, like, is gettable. Like, he's the bride from Kill Bill. Like, you understand
he's
why he is angry enough to flip out.
He's angry
and transform into another fucking creature that has giant fucking six arms. Oh my god, this game is so bananas.
So he's what the player can gather, as long as they're not a soulless human like me, but even I got it. He's obviously he's mad just because, right? Like, that he's naturally mad anyway, but then he gets angrier after the betrayal, the taking of his daughter, the murder of his wife.
Wait, the wife is dead?
I think so. She was killed in the beginning, unless she
was
comes back later. Yeah, she's dead. She's long dead. Wife gets ganked, yo.
Maybe I missed that. My bad.
So the wife...
Because I was like, man, when is he reuniting with his wife?
Fuck. No, there was another girl who he imagined being his daughter.
No, I know that.
Right. Anyway, so he's angry
and her backstory is pretty awesome.
Yeah. He's angry at that, and then there's some underlying, like, he has some anger at his guilt because he feels like he's, like, what I gathered from it is that he's angry at the fact that he's basically a war machine and that he can't be, like, a loving father or, like, you know, he can't do anything gently. He's only good at being a engine of destruction sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to, it's like the Terminator. He doesn't want to be a weapon, you know?
Yeah.
And he wants to protect. That's the whole motivation of the story so far. So now we've only played the first two parts out of however much content there are. Here's some questions I have after the first two parts. Ready?
Well, I want to mention one real thing. Right. Like, we were talking about how over the top this is. If you're listening, like, honestly, like, this is one of those games where even if it's spoiled for you, it is still going to be fun as fuck. Yo, at some point, somebody stabs a sword through Asura that goes all the way through the fucking planet.
First they jump. They jump
from
the
moon
to the earth.
But then this dude stabs Asura with a sword that is so long that it goes straight through to the other side of the planet.
Yes.
That is the kind of game you're in for.
Okay.
Unreal Engine 3.
So here's a list of things I don't understand. Is Asura a robot? Are the gods robots? If they are robots, how does Asura have a kid? If he's not a robot, is he a cyborg? Are the other gods cyborgs? Does that mean they all started as human, and then at some point they get mechanized parts?
I think they're aliens, but I think we'll find out.
Are they aliens? Why was the Emperor what he was? Was he also a demigod, or was he something else? Why is Asura the only one with a wife and child? When Asura gets angry enough, he grows extra arms, but they're robot arms. So if he's not a robot, how does he grow robot arms? If his powers stem from some sort of
I don't like innate, playing games with you.
If his power stems from some sort of innate ability that the demigods have, why would he grow robot arms and not regular arms? If this is 12,000 years in the future and his daughter is not a robot cyborg alien, how is she still alive? And if she is...
No, they're demigods, dude.
But what is a demigod
They're immortal within the context of this
But they're
world.
Like space-faring robot things. And then the minions that they
really,
have...
Really, that's what's hanging you up, like the aging.
No, it was just one of the things I don't understand,
continue
right?
with your list.
But I'm saying, she was a baby, God. And you see her grow up on a regular time schedule, right?
Yeah, I don't know. So fucking immortals in this universe stop aging at when they're... hit a certain plateau.
But
whatever.
It's
not really important.
There's questions I have. What were the minions, the enemies that you fight throughout the game and then eventually become comic relief later on? What are they a separate race? Are they related to the demigods? Are they also robots?
They're lower in the scheme of things. They're like Buddhas. I don't know. None of that is really important to the enjoyment of the game. Do you have more?
I do, but I'm not going to go through that. Here's the other thing.
No, I want you to finish your list.
So after writing all those things I don't understand and realizing what I was playing, I realized that this is this is very much what a Dragon Ball Z game should have been instead of a stupid fighting game.
Dude, the Dragon Ball Z action, like his like comboing by slamming on B button,
right?
That is so Dragon Ball Z.
It's very Dragon Ball Z,
and also all the yelling.
Well, all the grunting every 5 fucking minutes. The ridiculous power level things that they assign everyone or all the monsters in the game that mean nothing.
Yeah.
It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing.
Level.
Yeah. And then the ever escalating transformations when you get, you know, your kung fu gets better.
Yeah. At the end of chapter 12, we turned into Asura turns into
demon monkey.
Demon angel. Hellfire beast. It's pretty awesome.
Which, you know what? Probably isn't the last transformation. There's probably at least two more after that.
Okay. So we need to keep in mind going forward that the ending on disc is at the end of 6 more chapters, which is approximately an hour and a half of gameplay. And I say gameplay in quotes.
Storytelling.
Then there's the chapter 15 and a half, which is... takes place between 15 and 16, which will be somewhere... I'll probably play that in line.
So there's 5 DLCs for this.
Yeah. So then there's also... so there's the complete extra segment of 6 chapters that is the real ending. Then there's the bonus... there's chapter 11.5, which I actually played, and we'll talk about that in a second. And then there's the bonus chapters... where he fights Street Fighter characters.
Yeah, he fights Ryu and then Akuma.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about those next time. Except for 11.5, which I played. Play is in quotes to the fullest on this one. Because it is just...
it's a story chapter.
It's anime. It's not playable.
Oh, okay.
So it's anime. It's done by the same studio/artist that did the animation in Catherine. So it's amazing. I don't know if we... I didn't talk about... dude, I want to play Catherine again.
Oh, you know what else is great in this game?
Catherine?
Some of the cutscenes. Like, all the cutscenes have, like, a different... they're just, like, 3 or 4 panels of art. But all the art is done by different artists who I'm sure they picked up on, like, DeviantArt.
Those are different?
Yeah, they're all different. They're all different styled. And, you know, some of them have that, like... traditional anime look, and some of them have a more like watercolor Japanese art thing. And if you actually scroll around those pictures, you'll find Easter eggs.
Yeah.
There's actually one where the wolf from Okami is in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, but so this chapter, so you're still doing things in time,
right?
Like QTEing to hit burst and whatever. It doesn't essentially matter. But it's cool. It's a nice little animated 10-minute vignette. It's worth $2.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there's one thing in particular I think you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. There's an entire level that takes place in a hot springs.
And the different button commands are A stands up, X splashes water on the boobies of the girl serving you liquor, Y chugs liquor, and B takes a drink of liquor.
Yes.
And then you can...
and you can look around.
You can look around,
and
there's... yeah, the Easter eggs there.
Now, this is the scene, to me, that solidified this game as the most ridiculously over-the-top thing I've ever seen in my life. And it also solidified it in my mind as something that takes directly from anime. Because even in the most dead serious animes, shit that's like based on like historical shit that they're trying to like a real story, like this is an anime based on World War II, and also there's this talking penguin, you know, it's that kind of unbelievable just comic nonsense mixed in with this very serious thing. So you're in this hot spring like having a bath before this big battle with your mentor. And then all of a sudden, these two girls come in, and there's fucking spring noises every time they move.
Yeah.
And there's just, like, giant close-ups of their breasts. And then, like, the quick time events are, like, you have to stop looking at the breasts before you get caught.
No, did you see the burst mode is like you try to get a grab a boob and you get shut down.
Like, I don't even know how that's okay.
You get achievement for drinking too much.
Yes. Like, how is that okay? It's so weird. But not that I think it's like anything, like, whatever, put it in the game. I don't give a shit. But that it cleared, like, whatever, you know, like Xbox okayed that.
But dude, it's not pornographic.
No, but it is pretty sexual for a game.
No. Come on, there's games with rape in them now at this point. It's an M-rated game. That shit's fucking PG-13 at best.
I guess. It's just so, like, over the goddamn top. I mean, how did you feel about it? Because I almost felt like I don't like that kind of cheesecake. It's the same shit that turned me off of most anime.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny and, like, I don't know, just...
It was surprising, enough,
right? Because I'm more the knee-jerk. That's sexist!
Well, I'm not saying it's sexist. I'm saying it's childish.
It is. It's dumb.
But it's dumb.
Let's get real. Like, this is a Japanese-ass Japanese
game. It's Ivy from Soul Calibur. That's what this is, you know?
This is the cheesiest parts of Japanese games made really, really, really fun, though.
It's just that typical Japanese hypersexualization of women.
But yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, we can fucking go on and on about that, how that happens in games. But, yeah, no, I agree. It's weird, but it kind of has to be there to make this game what it is, which is the...
I agree.
The ultimate Japanese game.
Well, it's also... I think it's highly satirical, right? I think whole game has a very working knowledge of what it's doing.
Oh, it's totally self-aware, which is something you don't get a lot from Japanese games.
No, absolutely. So, there was one other thing I actually had to say about this whole experience up until this point, and it's a little unrelated, but I think it's relevant. Fuck Suda51. Every time I hear about a game coming out from this guy and fucking Grasshopper, the description of the game makes it sound like it's going to be this really off-the-wall, crazy, unbelievable, like, experience that you'll never understand, but everything's crazy, right? And the games always come out, and they're lackluster at best. They're a bunch of heavy-handed fart jokes, and they're, you know, it's a Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah,
right?
No, and then people start, like, try to say it's self-aware, but it really
isn't. It really is just fanboyism.
Mm-hmm.
While this game, which I came out of nowhere, in my opinion, right? Like, there was no big hype for this, just sort of came. It doesn't have a name like Suda51 behind it. It's just a Capcom game, right? Is everything that those Suda51 game descriptions make the Suda games seem like, but they're not.
No, I agree. And it's not that there's complicated mechanisms in here.
But it shows it can be done.
It's not that the story is going to make you... It's not going to flip you on your head or anything.
No.
But there... It does these crazy over-the-top things and still manages to be good.
The gameplay is solid. The story is grokkable.
God, it's so weird. It's just very likable.
Yeah, so fuck Suda51.
I mean, I would agree with that anyway, because I've heard that he really doesn't work very hard on those games anyway.
No.
So, anyway. So I guess we'll be right back with the outro. Snoop Dogg! You know what happened with the D.R.E. Yeah. You know who's back up in this motherfucker. So raise the weed up then. Raise that shit up, nigga. Yeah. Stop, Snoop. Top dog, light him off, nigga, burn his shit up. DPGC, my nigga, turn that shit up. CPT, LBC, yeah, we hooking back up. And when they bang this in the club, baby, you got to get up. Thug niggas, drug dealers, yeah, they giving it up. Low life, yo life, boy, we living it up. Taking chances while we dancing in the party for sure. Slipped my hoe with 44 when she got in the back door. Bitches looking at me strange, but you know I don't care. Step up in this motherfucker just to swing in my hair. Bitch, quit talking, quit walk if you're down with the sick. Take a bullet with some dick and take this dope on this jet. Out of town, put it down for the father of rap. And if your ass get cracked, bitch, shut your trap. Come back, get back, that's the part of success. If you believe in the ass, you'll be relieving your stress. It's the motherfucking D.R.E. Dr. Dre, motherfucker. You know I'm mobbing with the D.O. Double G. Straight off the fucking streets of CBT.
King up the beach, ride to him in your fleet. We're like the most lackadaisical recording. We're just like, yeah, whatever. Turn the track off when you want.
I'll do it in post. Fix in post.
Hey, we're back with the outro and the community segment. John, that was a good game club.
Yeah, so game club next week is we're going to finish off Asterisk Wrath. So the on-disc ending would be part 3, the last 6 chapters.
Right.
Then we're going to play all of the DLC. So 15 chapter 15.5, the DLC pack, which is the complete 4th section of the game.
It's 11.5, 15.5, the DLC pack with the 4th part.
Yeah.
And then the Ryu and Akuma fights.
Yeah. And those are all Japanese.
I have this feeling like the Ryu and Akuma fights are going to be so good. I don't know why. This game is, it's Unreal Engine. So it was made around the same time as Street Fighter 4. So I have a feeling it's
kind of weird. Isn't Street Fighter 4 MK Framework? Like,
yeah, actually, you might be right. But the art style is similar.
Yeah. No, the art style is definitely similar. But the it's kind of interesting that they used Unreal, especially given that Capcom does now have their middleware engine.
Right.
But that's, whatever.
And I think next week we'll touch on some stuff with this game. I mean, obviously we're going to talk about the story, but I think we'll talk a little bit more about, like, we didn't really touch on the art style, which I think we should do. And just, some other bits and pieces that I think are pretty interesting about this game. There's a lot to be said about this game. So if you haven't played it yet, it's a quick play. So join us next week and we'll just do the whole thing.
Yeah, I really encourage... This is something... This is like one of those games... As a gamer, you should play.
Yeah, I had a hard time putting it down.
This is, I feel like this is something that's going to end up, if not being important, at least really an interesting curio. I'm not going to, hey, take a drink. I'm going to mention Spec Ops the Line. Play that game. Play this game. There are, a handful of other games in the last 5 years that really, need to get played by you, as if you consider yourself like a consummate gamer. But
to call this a landmark game is probably too grand, but
maybe
it's a milestone of some sort. There's a definite bump in the road there.
I think everybody should play it, especially now that it's okay. Not everybody should play it. If you consider yourself hardcore and this is your fucking chosen method of enjoying entertainment,
yeah, if you're a hardcore gamer or an anime fan, I would say this is definitely up your alley.
Yeah.
All right. Enough of Service Wrath. Let's get to the community, because we have listeners and they have questions. So, our first question comes from Eddie.
Our only question.
Oh, we have some comments as well.
No, we don't.
We don't, but we're not popular?
Okay, so
all right.
So Eddie commented, DC...
Not Dreamcast, DC Comics.
Yeah. May finally have an incredible fighting game with, shit, what is it?
Injustice Gods Amongst Us.
God, I hate the fucking art style. Ugh.
We'll get to it. Seriously, it looks like a total blast to play. Sadly, might not be tournament viable. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I do have thoughts, because Mortal Kombat's been a game that I've... The latest Mortal Kombat, it's been a game that I've wanted to go back to for a while, because I've really wanted to play the single player. Because, I'm not going to ever be good enough at fighting games to be competitive. Sure. But I hear Mortal Kombat did the single player really well. And the PlayStation version is in 3D. It might be fun. I want to play it. The one thing that's taking me out of it, because it's going to have that story mode that the Mortal Kombat did, I fucking hate the art style. Like, I hate the fucking clip-on armor that everybody's wearing. The stupid fucking face armor that Batman has. Like, Wonder Woman looks like an idiot. Superman looks fucking stupid. And then you start going...
It's not so much the art style as it is, the character... direction or something like that. Like
the versions of these characters.
I mean, the art style is to say it's it's a 3D style, semi-realistic comic book. It's not like...
No. I disagree with the art direction.
Yeah.
Like, they went with a direction where they put stupid armor on your favorite fucking superheroes. Like, no, give me the fucking costumes that they wear. Like, anyway.
I'll agree to that.
Besides that, it looks really fun. And really playable.
So I saw a demo of this at Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Game looks good. There's some things I can see happening. first and foremost, watching the game, it really does remind you of Mortal Kombat. Like,
it's the same engine.
Same engine. And it's not studio. But it's not veiled at all. Like, the second you see it, you'll go like, oh, is that Mortal Kombat? Oh, no, that's Green Arrow. Right? Like, and there's a lot of, like, juggle mechanic stuff and all that. I don't know how I feel about that, but, you know, c'est la vie.
It's an American style fighting game.
Yeah, let's call it that. The art style, I'll take it or leave it. One thing I noticed, though, there's a lot of, like, environmental super moves.
Yeah.
You know, you punch a guy, he goes through a wall, and they look cool until you realize that when you play the game, you're probably going to hate watching that animation of your guy going, like, getting punched through a factory and hitting seven things and then falling to the ground and then the other guy following through. You know what I mean?
I don't know if it's the... I might enjoy that if it's the story mode, like Mortal Kombat, like... And you're playing every character through the course of it. There's stupid fucking cutscenes. Like, I think I would enjoy that.
I don't know. I just feel like that might get repetitive in two-player.
I'm not worried about that.
Like Eddie said, I don't know if it's tournament viable. I don't know if any American-style fighting game is going to be... Like, only the Japanese-style fighters really get...
I don't
know.
I think MK is in Evo, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't think it's one of the popular ones, right?
That really doesn't... I mean, it doesn't matter to me, but...
I agree. So you have some past DC fighters listed here, and you wanted to review them.
Yeah, so,
them a little bit.
I mean, so Eddie said may finally have an incredible fighting game. So I want to talk about the two DC fighting games of note from yesteryear. So there's DC versus Mortal Kombat, which has decent marks.
Yeah, you know what? It was a very transient game. It came and went. People played it and then put it away on the shelf and probably won't go back to it for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, that was back in 09, but I mean, that was, I guess, okay. But then, here's what I really want to talk about. Justice League Tax Force.
I don't remember this game.
This game came out in 1995 for SNES and Genesis. It was yet another Street Fighter II clone when, you know, we were inundated with Street Fighter II clones, and it was horrible. It has the worst looking versions of all your favorite DC characters because it's the 90s versions.
Yes.
So you've got mullet Superman.
They were funky and fresh.
Long-haired, one-armed fucking Aquaman. Batman looks like a fucking idiot. Blue. Come on. Blue on Batman. I hate that shit. But it was a very bad game out of those clones. But seriously, comic book games, I guess we're mostly talking about DC right this minute, like, are bad.
I mean, well, the Arkham Asylum games, obviously.
Well, I guess I should say have been classically bad for a long, long, long time. The things, because I was looking at the list of, like, DC Comics video games, there are a bunch that I remember in particular being really bad. Like, I remember the Superman on SNES being really bad.
I feel like I have fond memories of the Superman game in the arcades, which I feel was like a Space Harrier-esque Superman.
I don't remember this.
I gotta find it now.
There are a ton of bad Batman games. There are a couple of good Batman games, too. The Adventures of Batman and Robin on Sega CD is incredible. Just looking at this list, in the last few years, it looks like they've gotten pretty good. But there was another Justice League game, Justice League Heroes, which came out after, I think it might have been after Marvel Ultimate Alliance, or at least after the X-Men Dungeon Crawlers,
okay.
And just was horrible because those games already had four players, but you can only have two at a time in the DC version. Also, I
understand these arbitrary limits.
Also, the 360 was already out, and it came out on, I think it was a, came out on PS2. Yeah, it came out on PS2. And, like,
probably why
it
went by the wayside. I mean, we could look at the list all day. I mean, I'm sure there's a wealth of horrible games for DC, and I think Marvel probably has an even worse track record.
Oh, man. What was the Spider-Man and the X-Men in Arcade's Revenge?
The most impossibly fucking difficult game ever made.
I want to go on YouTube and, like, because there's only fucking five levels in that game, right?
No, each I think each character had two.
Really? Because so I couldn't even beat a single fucking
there's
level.
There's the opening scene with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which is, like, already taxing, but you can get through it.
Yeah, no, I beat that one.
And then there's Wolverine being chased by Juggernaut.
Hard. Impossible, hard. Never beat it.
I beat the, no, I never beat
Fuck
that
you.
One. I never beat that one. I think Storm had a level.
There's Storm, there's Cyclops.
And
Cyclops,
Gambit,
not
right?
with not with exposed hair, which I love, even though he had already had exposed hair for like fucking 3 years
right.
at that point. I like Cyclops with the skull cap, personally. With the big white X, like X-Factor uniform.
Yeah, sure.
That's best
Cyclops. That's kind of where they went with him now, too, in the comic books.
I'm so over X-Men.
But so there's Wolverine. I think there was a Gambit one, which was like Contra-style platforming. There was Storm, and there was Cyclops. And I remember having, like, all of those fucking levels, like every single one of them, you were being chased by some fucking thing that was, like, instant death
Dude,
if it touched you.
Dude, I played that game so fucking much.
Same.
But I could not fucking beat it. Never beat it.
It's one of the harder games, I think, made.
So, yeah, Storm, Wolverine, Gambit, and Cyclops.
And then Spider-Man, of course.
Yeah. Gosh. We should do, we should
let's play it?
Maybe.
Maybe.
God, that was so hard.
It is impossibly hard game.
Yeah. Anyway, so a couple of shout-outs. Our friends in the podcasting universe, obviously Perpetual Geek Machine at perpetualgeekmachine.net, Cross-Border Gaming, and Irrational Passions. So check those guys out.
Yeah, wait till we start our podcast network.
Yeah.
Get it all together.
And of course, you can be featured on this very show.
Can they?
Yeah, you could comment on Facebook, which seems to be how everybody does it because it's 2012.
So if you'd like to...
Coming soon to MySpace and Google Plus, because fuck Facebook.
So you can find us in a lot of places on the internet. If you'd like to find us on Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/fantasticneighborhood. If you'd like to find us on Twitter, you can find the show at Fantastic Hood. You can find John at Hey John Anderson.
You can find Fred at ProtoAddict.
You can find us at fantasticneighborhood.com. That's the mothership site.
Yeah. You can write us old-fashioned emails at letter@fantasticneighborhood.com or call us at 720-HOODIE-6.
And that is 720-466-3436. And if you have Stitcher Radio or if you use the iTunes podcasting app, we're in there as well.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you won't be able to see show notes. So, that being said...
I don't know. What do we outro with?
Touch the Shark.
Touch a shark.
God bless you. All right, I'm gonna take all of this out. Sorry.
Your ideas in a box. You close your heart and we're